From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, I'm going to explain why, and this is maybe a little shocking to say here, but I'm not quite as excited about the game against Austin Peay as I was. I'll sort of explain my thought process on this, and you can tell me if you think I'm all wet or not. We'll do that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, kind of straight off the top here, one of the things I've been sort of fascinated about thinking about this week as Georgia gets ready to play Austin Peay on Saturday is how much things seemingly have changed for Georgia over just the course of a couple of seasons. If you go back to 2016, you know, Georgia's in this really close call with Nicholls State, and at the time, and unfortunately, it just didn't seem like Georgia was capable of dominating an opponent like that they were supposed to dominate. Now, I also think that Kirby Smart was trying to send a message to his team that day somehow, being physical, running the football, laying the foundation for some of this success that Georgia would later on enjoy. But at the time here, Georgia just wasn't able to quite put that Nicholls State team away. And obviously, you sort of look back on that now with it's hard to believe that's where Georgia was then, given where it was in 2017 and where we expected to be in 2018. But for what it's worth, Kirby Smart this week, he was actually asked about that game. Hey, remember when you almost lost an FCS team? And as you might imagine, Kirby Smart didn't want to talk too much about that. Here is Kirby not really wanting to do a whole lot of looking back.
We don't get into teaching tools from other games. I think sometimes you do that as a coach. You get into negativity. What we've tried to emphasize is the truth. And we have a lot of respect for this team, like we did App State last year. I compare this team in a lot of ways to App State in that they're coming off of a very strong winning streak from last year. I mean, they've got three or four transfers that are from major college programs. They've got good football players. We tell our guys all the time, we play to a standard. It doesn't matter whether we're playing Florida, Austin Peay, South Carolina. We play to a standard. And our standard is to go out and dominate the opponent physically, mentally, wear them down. And that's what we try to do. And that way, if you have that message, you're not changing the message every week. The message is very consistent that when we go out to practice, we're trying to be the best team in the country so that when we get in the game, we can dominate people physically and not really worry about the scoreboard or who we're playing.
There are a lot of words that Kirby Smart uses there that kind of gets your attention. Standard. We believe it may have been set for Georgia in 2017. Dominate. That's certainly something we saw Georgia do a year ago. And then Kirby Smart uses the word best, something that I believe is very much within the threshold of possibility for Georgia this season. It can be the best. It can dominate opponents. I expect it to dominate Austin Peay on Saturday. And I'm sort of fascinated by how quickly this standard has been set for UGA, because obviously in 2016, that wasn't really the case. And with that in mind, I think it's kind of interesting to keep looking in on what some of the people around the country continue to say about Georgia. And there seems to be this conflict of opinion, maybe. There seems to be a certain sort of cap or a ceiling put on Georgia's likely success by some of the national media that maybe some of the betting public doesn't necessarily see. And I've kind of talked about this before. You may remember a couple of weeks ago on Dog Nation Daily, we sort of discussed the fact that there seems to be this commonality among a lot of the picks that put Georgia in the college football playoff that they can be in the playoff, but they're not the best. They're only in the playoff if there's a second SEC team that goes in, if it's Georgia going along with Alabama into the college football playoff. With that in mind, I thought that ESPN recently published a pretty interesting piece at ESPN.com where they essentially did a survey of all of their experts for the upcoming season. It's like 40-something people in all that made college football playoff picks, and 13 of the people that picked did put Georgia in the college football playoff, which is not a bad ratio overall when you think about it. But when you drill down a little further, you do see more evidence, more examples of something that I've talked about on this program, that seemingly a lot of those folks that will put Georgia in the college football playoff will only do so if it's along with Alabama as two SEC teams who make it. In fact, here are the numbers here, if I did the math correctly. As I said, 13 people picked Georgia to go to the college football playoff in the recent ESPN survey, but of the experts, only three put Georgia in as the lone SEC team to make the college football playoff. It's DJ Shockley, who is a UGA grad, Jonathan Vilma, who's only a part-time analyst for ESPN, and Lee Corso, who at this stage of his career may only be a part-time analyst a bit here as well. So, the big bold print analyst that you're used to seeing a lot on ESPN, if they think Georgia's going to the college football playoff, they seemingly think it can only happen if it's along with Alabama. The assumption here is that a lot of people still think Alabama is just sort of way better better than the University of Georgia. We've even had experts come on Dog Nation Daily and kind of say this from time to time. You know, you hear Kirby Smart says, we want to set a standard here this season. We want to be the best team in the country. And the pushback from the national media would seem to be, well, maybe not yet. You're getting close to being as good as Alabama, but maybe not surpassing Alabama as of yet. An example of that, Bill Bender from the Sporting News. He's a good friend of ours here around Dog Nation Daily. He's a terrific college football analyst in terms of sort of articulating, I think, the common opinion by many national experts on where Georgia sort of ranks in comparison right now to Alabama. I think Bill Bender back during the summer did a pretty good job of explaining that on Dog Nation Daily. Here is how he said that then.
The hardest part for me doing these bowl projections was not putting both of them in, because if I had a first team out, I think it would be Georgia. I do see a scenario where, and I have to go back and look, but I think the first 3 weeks of the playoff rankings last year, Georgia and Alabama were 1-2. So to me, that the possibility of both of them getting back to the playoff, you know, people are going to get mad about that. But if they're both undefeated and play in Atlanta and it's a close game, both teams will go to the playoff.
Listen, my very succinct point in all this, and I understand, you know, Bill Bender's point that maybe there is a chance that both these teams make it again. They're obviously potentially on a track to win at least 11, maybe 12 regular season games. I don't so much have a fault with Bill Bender from the Sporting News, but I do have a fault with kind of the common opinion as expressed by many of these ESPN analysts. And, of course, if you're not a Georgia fan, you'll just say this is bias coming from the host of Dog Nation Daily. You know, be that as it may here, I think that Kirby Smart has earned the right to speak the way that he spoke in the clip that we played earlier. It does appear that a standard's been set at Georgia. Georgia has dominated enough opponents, and frankly, it is in that conversation to still be the best in the country this season that maybe some of the doubts about Georgia, that it can only make the playoff if it's a second SEC team, it can only make the playoff if something happens with the prohibitive favorite Alabama, I just think that stuff is just flat wrong. And I think it sort of goes to the mistake that media makes oftentimes. When you see a close game in 1 year between two teams, that assumption the following year that if those two teams played again, you'd have the same outcome. You know, I don't know that's necessarily backed up by data. And to sort of validate my point even more, you know, I was listening to, speaking of ESPN, I was listening to one of those ESPN podcasts this week. It's called Behind the Bets, where they talk to a lot of like Vegas-type experts and people who sort of either, you know, crunch this stuff from the analytical perspective with the numbers, or just sort of follow the betting trends on this. And there's a guy like John Murray, who works for the Westgate, which is one of the big sports books out in Las Vegas. And what John Murray told the ESPN folks on Behind the Bets here this week is that if you're thinking that maybe Georgia is deservedly an underdog to Alabama, apparently some of the smartest folks in Las Vegas don't necessarily agree. Here is how John Murray said the relationship between Alabama and Georgia is compared from a Las Vegas perspective right now.
Alabama's schedule sets up very favorably. Outside of that Auburn game, there's a chance that they'll be an over 2-touchdown favorite every week this season. But Georgia potentially looms in the SEC championship game. Georgia's a team that I know some wise guys out here say is the best team in the country.
Some wise guys out in Las Vegas think Georgia has the best team in the country. Now, I can't prove that's true, and I don't know that I feel confident that Georgia indeed will win the national championship here in 2018. But for the laundry list, the long line of ESPN experts who sort of lined up to say, Georgia, not quite as good as Alabama yet, I think a lot of that's being had being said way too soon. There's way too much unanimity when it comes to the opinions from many of these experts. The bottom line for me is I do expect Georgia to dominate Austin Peay on Saturday. Nobody will be surprised by that. But a lot of that same domination that you saw from Georgia against some of its SEC East foes a year ago, I think you'll see a carbon copy of that again in 2018 here as well. And maybe by the end of the season, it's these Vegas wise guys' opinions who get validated that maybe Georgia really was the best all along. My name is Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza. We're glad you're with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, the Dog Nation Twitter feed, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found. Apple Podcast, the Google Podcast player for the Android devices, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com. Just thanks so much for being with us, and thank you to Marco's Pizza for being with us here each and every day as well. You know, Thursday night is tonight. You got some football on the screen. You got, what, Purdue, Northwestern. You got Georgia State and Kennesaw State locally, although I don't know if that's on TV or not. There's another game, too, I'm not thinking about. There's a few games. Sit down in front of your TV and watch it with some Marco's Pizza. You can get two medium, two-topping pizzas right now for $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. So say hello, Primo, with three cheeses blended together on the authentic Italian crust. The Gianmarco family recipe sauce. Boy, I get hungry even thinking about it. And I look forward tonight to sitting in front of the TV, maybe enjoying a little Marco's Pizza. Go to Marco's.com, and tonight you can do the same thing. Let me also say this. A lot of you have been asking, okay, B.A., tell us about your first Marlowe's Tavern broadcast of the upcoming season, because we know we're going to be doing a bunch of those this year, and I'm really excited to let you know that this kicks off for us on Wednesday. Now, there's a lot about this I can't tell you yet. We're going to have a special guest, and I'm really proud to sort of announce that, introduce that to you, but I'll do that later. What I can tell you for right now, though, is Terrapin Brewery is going to be on hand. They were great fun last year for our sort of kickoff event there at Marlowe's Tavern. They're going to have the Big Green Egg fired up out there on the lawn right there in front of the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. And if you show up wearing your red and black, you get a free appetizer as well from off the Marlowe's menu there. So it's this upcoming Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. It's the Marlowe's Dunwoody location. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. So please check that out. We'll be there this Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. for our Dog Nation big game preview as we look ahead to the Gamecocks there on that following Saturday. That's this upcoming Wednesday. Marlowe's Dunwoody, 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Please make plans to attend that one. Okay, we'll have David Green on the program in just a moment. Before that, though, let me pay off on something that I mentioned a moment ago. So I have been over the moon excited about Georgia Austin-Peay all Saturday just because it's the start of the 2018 season. But as we get a little closer here, I start to think, wait a second. Is this going to be as fun as I want it to be? Because, pardon the bad grammar here for a moment, but I was thinking yesterday about this game. Hold on a second. Kirby Smart ain't going to show nothing in this game. You know, this is going to be, with South Carolina looming the following Saturday, this is going to be the most vanilla game plan of them all. I mean, we're not going to see a lot of those showcase players the way that we want to see them. And I think if you listen closely to what Kirby's been saying this week, I think you do get a hint that indeed, this may be kind of the thought process here. Let me start with the question that Mike Griffith asked Kirby Smart during one of his press availabilities here this week. You know, with a veteran quarterback, with kind of a, plethora of playmakers, we're going to see Georgia throw the ball more in 2018? Well, Kirby gives you a hint here that I think we'll build towards in terms of this conversation. Here's Kirby on whether or not Georgia will pass more here in 2018.
I don't know that you would assume we're going to throw the ball more. I don't know if y'all realize that last scrimmage was really – that's kind of where we were. We needed to defend the pass on defense, and we needed to pass the ball on offense. That had nothing to do with our offensive system. Our offensive system is built around getting the ball to the best playmakers. I think if any good offensive coach will tell you, what is your objective? Number one, score points. How do you score points? Get the ball to the playmakers. If your playmakers are backs, if your playmakers are tight ends, you're trying to get touches to certain players. And sometimes defenses can dictate who you can get those touches to. The defense will dictate a lot of what we do. We're not going in this game saying we're throwing it a lot more. We're not going in this game saying we're running it a lot more. I think that would be a crazy assumption either way. I think the key for us is, can we be balanced? Can we get our best playmakers, can we get those guys the most number of touches so that we can be successful? That's what we're focused on.
So when I think playmakers, I think about a guy like, say, Demetrius Robertson here. That's a guy that's making his debut on Saturday. That's a guy I want to see a lot of. And once again, when you think about the best strategic decision from Georgia, maybe sort of holding him back a little bit and not unleashing him until you get to South Carolina, maybe that makes the most sense. As I said, there have been some hints from Kirby Smart this week that may be indeed what Georgia ends up doing. You know, for instance, Kirby earlier kind of talked about the fact that when it comes to like that dominant standout wideout, Kirby says you got to get the ball to your playmakers, but at the wide receiver position, if you hear Kirby speak about it, maybe we don't yet know who those playmakers for Georgia necessarily are. Maybe wide receiver by committee. Here is more of Kirby in talking about that wide receiver core.
I've been pleased with the receiver and the competition in it. You know, Terry's got great experience, but those other guys have really been competing hard, helping on special teams. I don't think that we have just a dominant wideout. We don't have that, but we've got a group by committee that, man, they work hard.
So listen, I've said before that I don't necessarily believe that's true. With all due respect to Mecole Hardman and Terry Gobbin, who I think could have great years, Riley Ridley, who showed out in the national championship game, I do sort of think that Demetrius Robertson is going to end up being the dominant wideout. But as I said, maybe we don't get to see that necessarily on Saturday. Maybe that's not necessarily going to be put on display. I will tell you this. I want to let you hear later on what Kirby Smart said about Demetrius Robertson. I'm sort of short on time right now, so I may hold off on hearing from Kirby on Demetrius Robertson. And I guess I'd also sort of be curious to hear from you. Do you think that I'm right about this? Is George going to hold back D-Rob? Or maybe James Cook, who Mike Griffith has written a lot about at DogNation.com, or, you know, some of these other, you know, potential playmakers here. Does Kirby kind of keep them under wraps a bit heading into South Carolina next Saturday? And if he does, that's his prerogative. That's probably the smart thing to do. But I will admit that I was kind of excited about seeing them showcased against Austin Peay. But strategically speaking, that may just not be the smartest thing to do overall there. We'll hear more from Kirby on this subject, including what he had to say about Demetrius Robertson this week a little later on the program. Let me also tell you, make sure you go to DogNation.com. Sign up for our Dog Nation Invasion giveaway, Kirby. Of Kroger. We're heading to Baton Rouge in October. Kroger wants you to be with us. You and a guest could be a big winner here. Just go to DogNation.com. You can sign up. Be there with us in New Orleans on the Friday, in Baton Rouge on the Saturday for our Dog Nation Invasion giveaway. Courtesy of Kroger here. Check out more of that at DogNation.com. All right, it is great to have you with us here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Really excited about our next guest. He's the former Georgia quarterback. He's got so much insight into everything happening around the program, and he's going to tell us about a big event happening downtown Athens on Saturday. Let's say hello to David Green right now. And as I said, he is a great friend of us here on a Dog Nation Daily, and he is really going to let us know about something that's really, really fun happening coming up this Saturday in Athens. It's always great to have David Green here on Dog Nation Daily, former Georgia quarterback. And this Saturday, Tailgate Apparel, that's 279 East Broad Street in Athens. Great spot for UGA apparel. They're going to have a big autograph signing. David will tell us more about that coming up in a moment. If you're looking for something really fun to do before the game on Saturday and maybe get some game day gear, Tailgate Apparel, a great way to do that. David, welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. How you doing today?
Good, Brandon. How about yourself, bud?
I'm doing really well, and I guess if you don't mind, let me just sort of start off kind of with some of the stuff I was just sort of talking about before you joined us. You know, Georgia does play Austin Peay on Saturday. Over the course of your career, you know what games like this kind of look like, kind of feel like. For some fans, maybe they're not as exciting as some of the other opponents that you might play during the season, but how do you stay focused during practice for a game like this? I know coaches are saying, hey, don't take anybody lightly, and coaches are saying, you know, do your job the way you're supposed to, but human nature is to maybe sort of peek ahead a bit or sort of downgrade your opponent if it's not the same caliber of player that you think that you are. How does Georgia handle that this week, you think?
Well, I tell you, the one thing that I've been impressed with Coach Smart, especially last year, it didn't seem like there was one game last year that Georgia didn't show up ready to play. And, you know, I think a lot of it starts with practice where, you know, you got to make sure you practice hard. You want to create a mentality that whenever you lace them up and you step on the field, there's a certain way that you play. And I think Kirby's done a good job of saying that, whether it's a game or practice or whatnot. When you step out on this field, it's time to work, and it doesn't really matter who you're playing. Is a standard that we hold ourselves to, and when you create a culture like that, you don't really have the letdowns and kind of the yo-yo games that, you know, we seem to have in years past. And so, and here's the other thing, Brandon. You know, you work so hard in the off season and workout programs and the whole deal just to get the opportunity to play, you know, 12 to 15 games if you're lucky. And so, you know, if you get a chance to finally play, you need to take advantage of it.
That's a really good point. Really good point. Something else I was also mentioning before you joined the show today is this assumption that I'm starting to gather that, oh, I'm excited about seeing Demetrius Robertson in his first game as a Georgia wide receiver, but maybe Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney choose not to showcase him too much. Same for some of the freshmen, guys like James Cook, who could be an explosive playmaker. Maybe you keep that a secret a bit. Maybe even do some of that with Justin Fields as well. The repertoire of skills that he has, if you've got something special in mind for him, you don't really show that against the Governors of Austin Peay. In terms of actual game planning that goes on, did you get the sense going into some of the lesser opponents that you may have played during your career that y'all were working with a smaller playbook, that your best stuff, the stuff that you knew could work against a good team, that you were deliberately sort of holding that back? Was that ever a conversation that you actually had going into a game like this?
No. And I think, you know, that's probably something maybe the coaches have amongst themselves is, you know, if you get up by 28 points and, you know, the second quarter, you know, we don't want to be showing our, you know, reverse, triple reverse passes and all that kind of stuff. You're thinking more about playing time. But, you know, as a player, and I think as a coach as well, you want to go out there and just treat it and respect your opponent and go, you know what, we got to go out there, execute the game plan. And if everything goes smoothly, you kind of got a plan B over here on how you want to, you know, subs and get everybody into the game. But if you go in there, you know, thinking I'm just going to go out here and just roll out here on the field and get to an easy W, that's not always the case. And I know Kirby doesn't coach that way. He doesn't even allow his players to think that way. And like we're talking about that mindset. So, you know, Brandon, that's the most important thing in football. And when you look at championship teams, you know, they show up ready to play. It doesn't really matter who it is. Alabama's done a great job of this year after year, you know, because they always have a number of cupcake, you know, games on their schedule as well. And they don't go out there and typically just lay an egg. They go out there and score 62 points, it seems like, before half. And then the other guys get to come in. And to me, that's one of the biggest differences in teams that that are championship caliber and the guys that are just good teams is that mindset of just when I go out there and it's time to play, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, there's a way that we play.
It is great to have former Georgia quarterback David Green here on a Dog Nation Daily today. And don't forget, if you're looking for some really great game day gear, make sure to check out Tailgate Apparel, 279 East Broad Street, downtown Athens. It's the old Harry Bissett's building. It is a great spot for your game day stuff. And, David, before we get back to our Georgia conversation, I will tell you this real quick. We were at Kroger last week for our Dog Nation season kickoff. There was a guy in there, black sort of T-shirt, very cool, retro style. And I said, hey, where did you get that T-shirt? I love that T-shirt. No joke, David. He says, I got this at Tailgate Apparel. So if you're kind of looking for that retro, you know, stuff, the stuff that looks like, you know, just kind of the old school UGA vibe, a lot of that Tailgate Apparel stuff really has that. And those Tailgate Apparel T-shirts, this time of year when it's really hot outside, those Tailgate Apparel T-shirts are really perfect for that. So, David, there were folks wearing some Tailgate Apparel stuff at our event this past Thursday. It was kind of nice to see.
Well, it's amazing. You know, the store's only been around a couple of years, but it's amazing. I'll walk on, even around Snellville and around my kid's school, and I'll see, you know, Georgia fans with the gear on, too. So it's nice to see and excited that, you know, I get to see old buddy Sean Jones this weekend as well. He'll be over at tailgate signing from 12 to 2. Just excited to see him. You talk about a great dog and just, you know, phenomenal player and even a better person. So he's going to be in Athens. So all the dog fans that are out there, y'all come by and see Sean. I know he'll be glad to see everybody.
Yeah, I want to make sure we really promote that good before we're done here because that's a great autograph signing. And I know a lot of folks are looking for something fun to do before the kickoff. That'll be great at Tailgate Apparel. Let me squeeze in one or two more quick questions before we let you go here, though. Laura Rutledge, who was like a ESPN personality, she was at Georgia practice recently, and she said that she observed Georgia working both on Austin Peay and also looking ahead a bit to next week's opponent, South Carolina, at least according to what she'd seen during Georgia practice. Is that the kind of thing that does go on this time of year? Is there that little bit of peek ahead to South Carolina? I know the company line is to say, oh, no, you don't look past your opponent, but procedurally, obviously, South Carolina is a very important game for Georgia. How much practice time do you think the Dogs are able to steal away for the Gamecocks, given the fact they're playing the lowly Governors on Saturday?
You know what? I'll be honest with you, Brandon. I would be shocked if they were actually preparing ahead for South Carolina already. I mean, that kind of goes against, you know, every coaching philosophy you see that one week at a time. Now, they may be putting in different, you know, plays and defensive packages that they may or may not use this week, and they plan on using next week, but the coaches aren't going to tell the players that. And I certainly don't think that the coaches would let the players know that we're starting to kind of get geared up for South Carolina. You know, in all my years of playing, it was always the game, you know, this week and right here in front of us. I would be shocked in that, you know, coach was actually preparing for South Carolina this week. That would, I would be more than shocked.
So, quick question for you. Obviously, Jake Fromm goes into his second season as Georgia starter here this year. And I think back to your own career for a moment. You know, in 2001, you got some great success as a freshman quarterback. In 2002, you had all that sort of experience under your belt to sort of look ahead to the upcoming season. Were you less nervous for, I guess it would have been Clemson, the season opener in 2002? Were you less nervous in that game than you would have been fast forward the year before as you were, you know, playing a lot early in your freshman season? Was there a difference in how your, you know, butterflies felt, your mindset felt? What was it like from 2001 to 2002 after having played a good bit of football as a redshirt freshman in your case?
Well, here's the biggest difference. I think in 2001, going into the first game, I thought I could play at that level, but you never know until you prove it to yourself, right? And so when I stepped on the field at Arkansas State the first game, I was confident but certainly nervous because it was a brand-new environment for me. Going in 0-2, I knew I'd been in that situation before and knew I could do it. It was just a matter of doing. Now, I always felt like the butterflies, they never went away. In fact, I actually thought that if I wasn't nervous before the game, I probably wasn't ready to play. Not nervous in the fact that, you know, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, but just the, you know, anxiety of, you know, hey, this thing's about to go down. And I always felt like, look, the butterflies, that was a good part of the game, you know, because it knows you're kind of, your body's getting heat up, you're mentally getting ready to go. And so the butterflies were really there my whole career. But the biggest difference is confidence in year two versus year one. You know, knowing that you can do it versus thinking you can do it is a big difference.
All right, you mentioned this a moment ago. This is one of my favorite things, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so glad we get to have a chance to have you on Dog Nation Daily, because I hear from people all the time that are asking about, hey, are there any autograph signings on Saturday? Or is there any chance to sort of meet a former UGA player? And as we discussed last week, Sean Jones is really one of my sort of favorite players from your era at UGA because he was a great guy. He had some great success both at Georgia and at the NFL level. And this Saturday, Dog fans have a chance to meet him there at Tailgate Apparel right there, 279 East Broad Street, downtown Athens. David, can you give us some more details, the times on this, and anything else you think we need to know about Georgia fans' chance to sort of say hello and meet Sean Jones coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, the key is, you know, he's going to be there from 12 to 2. So you got 2 hours to get there. So just when you're downtown or whatnot, come by and stop by and see him. You know, I kind of mentioned it earlier. Sean's a great guy. I mean, he was a phenomenal player, phenomenal athlete at Georgia. But if people get a chance to go by and meet him as well, I mean, salt of the earth guy, lives in Atlanta now. Believe it or not, he actually owns a farm. He farms now.
That's awesome.
In Atlanta. So, he's obviously got some pretty prime real estate to have some acreage in Atlanta. but as a farmer. So I think it's really neat. Just a first-class guy. And I think the Dog fans will really be excited to get a chance to see him again.
Oh, that's really good to hear, David. Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you enjoy the start of the 2018 season. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon. And I know a lot of Georgia fans looking forward to seeing Sean Jones on Saturday. We'll talk to you later on.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Brandon.
All right, really good stuff there from David Green. Make sure you check out Sean Jones, 279 East Broad Street in Athens from 12 to 2 on Saturday for a really, really, really great time. You know, I think that, for a lot of you that have kids, too, this is sort of the perfect thing to do, right? Because, you can get in some air conditioning, sort of get out of the tailgate heat, or at least early in the season, these tailgates can be really, really hot. So you can get in, get some air conditioning, say hello to a former UGA great. And I told you this before, you know, that 2003 Georgia-Tennessee game, where Sean Jones scoops the up the fumble and takes it in for a score. Back then, beating Tennessee on the road was a big, big deal. Georgia had not done a lot of that. Had won the previous time in 2001, but before that, it had been a rough go against the Vols, so it felt really good to see Georgia get the blowout win in Knoxville back in 2003, and Sean Jones was a big part of that. All right, I've got more coming up in a moment. Can I do this, though? Can I sort of finish off a conversation that I had started a little earlier? So for our radio audience or video audience that's just joining us, one of the things I'd said before is I have been kind of over the moon excited about the upcoming season, but maybe also thinking just a little bit about, well, now that you're sort of getting to a couple days before the game, is Georgia really going to showcase everything it has offensively? And I sort of, you know, talked about the idea of the playmakers. Are you going to get a James Cook involved? Are you going to get, you know, some of these other weapons? You know, Justin Fields, you're going to show everything that Fields is capable of, given the fact that you might want the element of surprise on your side against South Carolina next week. And another guy that kind of comes to mind for me like that is Demetrius Robertson. One of the things that, you know, that we talked about a couple of minutes ago was, I think the door is open for Georgia to throw the ball more a little bit this season. I think some of Kirby Smart's words sort of validate that they're going to try to get the ball to playmakers. But when it comes to that wide receiving core, Kirby says it may still be wide receiver by committee. He says himself, and we played the audio a few minutes ago, I don't know that we have a true dominant wide receiver. And, I mean, I've made my case many times, and maybe I'm proven wrong. I've been wrong before. That eventually I do think Demetrius Robertson, because of his status coming out of high school, because of the stats that he put up as a freshman All-American at Cal, I do think that he has a chance to be that dominant wide receiver But the question I keep coming back to is, will we see evidence of that on Saturday? Is that sort of best kept under wraps until you really need it on the road against an SEC opponent like South Carolina? As far as what Kirby Smart's thinking about Demetrius Robertson here at the moment, when he was asked about Robertson, who has been practicing but kind of been away from football for a while, is he really ready to kind of get out there and go as a true gamer on Saturday? Well, Smart filled us in on some of the details involving Demetrius Robertson. Here he is.
Yeah, he's definitely ready for game action. I don't know that he's in the shape that he would tell you he needs to be in, but we're not talking about the guy playing 70, 80 snaps either. So where he's been a blessing for us is he's been extremely competitive in the special teams department, which I didn't know if he had played a lot of special teams during his career. I knew he played a little bit of defense in high school, but he plays with toughness. He's helped us on punt. He's helped us on punt return. He's helped us on kickoff return. And then he's also been a quality wideout for us. You know, with these knick-knack injuries we've had with the wide receivers, he's a guy that's pushed through and done a really good job for us. I feel like over the last 2 weeks, he's gotten his legs back under him, so you see some of the juice that he had from the beginning, but he's probably still not where he needs to be as far as from an off-season conditioning standpoint.
Listen, I got nothing but love and respect for Kirby Smart, but Demetrius Robertson did not leave Berkeley, California to come to UGA to tackle punt returners. That is not why he came to UGA. Now, I have also been on record before saying I want the 11 best guys out there on every special teams play every single time. Zamir White, who's unfortunately now injured, included. I want the 11 best guys. I've got no problem with D-Rob in that role. But Demetrius Robertson came to Georgia to catch touchdown passes, and I do eventually think that's what's going to be displayed. Last year, the leading receiver for Georgia was Javon Wims. I think he had 7 touchdowns. I think that Demetrius Robertson gets at least that here in 2018, but maybe it's sort of wise not to put a lot of this on display in week one, which maybe makes that season opener against Austin Peay a little less entertaining, but maybe strategically it's the right play to make. I guess the overall sort of bottom line to this is some folks had asked me the other day what my score prediction was, and I had said at the time, oh, I think it'd be great if Georgia could get 50. I don't think Georgia's getting 50 on Saturday. I don't think it wants to. I think it wants to get a nice, comfortable, easy win and get out the door and start putting its head down, getting ready for South Carolina, which means that maybe you keep some of these toys kind of in the toy box until you really need them the following week.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really fun stuff with David Green, and really fun to look ahead to the upcoming Saturday against Austin Peay. Can't wait for all of that. And, of course, cannot wait for the rest of the action around the SEC here as well. So with that in mind, as we start our SEC through here, let's get ready to welcome back our friends to MyBookie to the program. Y'all know around Dog Nation, we really love MyBookie because when it comes to the folks who want to get some action down on a game, and I know many of you do, listen, you hear me spout my opinions all the time. I'm wrong, you know, all the time. But you probably have a great chance to be much more right, more correct than I can. And when you are right, you have a chance to get paid. And the reason why here at Dog Nation that we love MyBookie is because they offer those fast, no-hassle, easy payouts. You play, you win, you get paid. It's as simple as that with MyBookie. And right now, to kind of kick off the 2018 season in style, MyBookie's got a great offer for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. Use the promo code Dog Nation. Find MyBookie online and use the promo code Dog Nation. Your first deposit is going to be matched dollar for dollar, but you've got to use the promo code Dog Nation. Just find MyBookie. It's MyBookie. Find MyBookie online and use the promo code Dog Nation. You can get your first deposit matched up to dollar for dollar there when it comes to that from our friends at MyBookie. Speaking of that, let's do our MyBookie best bets, and let's talk a little bit about some of these SEC games this upcoming weekend in terms of the point spreads on those. Let me start with Ole Miss Texas Tech here. I don't have a strong play on this game one way or another. I guess it's probably too cliche to say I like the over here between the Rebels and the Red Raiders. I don't know that either one of these two teams are going to be playing a whole lot of defense here. You know, listen, my intuition is to say that Matt Luke probably wants to get his career started on the right foot here against Texas Tech. But this feels like a stay-away game for me. I don't have a strong play on either side of that. I do have a strong take, though, on Washington-Auburn. I think the my bookie best bet on this game for me is Auburn. And I know that Connor Riley, one of the guys that works with us, is in vehement disagreement with it, me on that. Vehement's probably a bigger word than I should be using. But he loves the Husky side on this. Here's my point. Washington's not coming 3,000 miles into the heart of SEC territory here and beating Auburn in this game. I actually like Auburn by about 2 touchdowns, and I'll tell you why. There's not a defense like Auburn within 2,000 miles of Seattle. There's just not. This front seven group for Auburn is for real. I think the Marcavius Big Cat Bryant's a breakout player here this year. I think that Derrick Brown, obviously to the chagrin of many Georgia fans, is a real beast in the middle. Another former UGA commit, Dontavius Russell, I think much the same way. You know, the battle between Jared Stidham and Jake Browning, the two quarterbacks, should be fascinating here. But it's really the Auburn defense that's the difference maker for me. I don't think Miles Gaskin, the Washington running back, finds room to run here. I think this is an easy Auburn win. I feel the exact opposite from the SEC perspective, though, on the Tennessee-West Virginia game. I just believe this is a really bad year for Tennessee. And the reasons why I think they're going to be bad makes the matchup with West Virginia even worse than the typical opponent. If you want to go back and listen, boy, that Vols coach Jeremy Pruitt talked about his team during the spring. I don't think he thinks he's very good defensively. Now, he's gotten some help with some of the summer-arriving freshmen here, but even with that, this is a pretty thin group. I mean, take a look at that defensive secondary for a moment. There's a guy like Alante Taylor, who, once again, Georgia recruiting fans will remember. Dogs were at one point in time interested in, but back on the high school landscape, Taylor couldn't decide if he was a wide receiver or defensive back. Probably wanted to be a wide receiver, and he may start at defensive back for Tennessee on Saturday. Are you telling me that Will Grier, who may be one of the Heisman Trophy favorites and would love to showcase that on a national stage, are you telling me that Grier won't be looking to pick apart a freshman like Alante Taylor, not a full-time defensive back, at least in his past, starting his first game in a neutral side environment like that? I think West Virginia blows out Tennessee. Vols are a 10.5-point underdog already, but I think that's actually a fairly easy cover for West Virginia. I do not like the SEC side in this game. I think the Mountaineers are the MyBookie best bet. I don't have a strong play in Louisville, Alabama either. It's a big number. Obviously, I'd love to see Alabama in a situation where it's kept close here. I just don't feel, you know, very, very big about that one way or another. I'm assuming Alabama wins. I'm assuming it's easy. With the point spread, I guess I'd probably stay away from that altogether. But once again, though, to kind of close out our MyBookie Best Bet segment here on a Dog Nation Daily, I have really strong feelings about Miami-LSU. And I think this is an example of where the public has just been really wrong about the Tigers. And this is relevant because Georgia goes to Baton Rouge in October for the Dog Nation Invasion once again. Here's my issue. The long-term trend for LSU is down. But that does not mean that sort of game-to-game and over the course of this season that things have to be terrible. The fact of the matter is Dave Aranda still has control of that defense, and they've got a lot of talent. Devin White, maybe this year's version of Roquan Smith in the SEC. He is a very good inside linebacker. Braden Fajoco is the transfer from Texas Tech at defensive line. I think he's a top-flight player. I think that LSU is going to have a very typical LSU secondary. You know, plus 3.5, this is a game that I think that LSU wins outright. I think they pull the upset against Miami on Saturday. It's probably a low-scoring game. But even with that, you know, I think the over-under total at my bookie, and don't quote me on this, but it's somewhere like 47 or so. Even with that, I'm almost tempted to not even go under on this just simply because I think that LSU may be looking to showcase some of those wide receivers a bit. The bottom line is I think that LSU is the MyBookie best bet for a Saturday. Or actually, that's a Sunday game. The MyBookie best bet there, I think as a 3.5-point underdog, I think they go out and win the game outright against Miami. That's our MyBookie best bets here on Dog Nation Daily. And if you want to get your own best bets down, then you want to find MyBookie online and use the promo code DOGNATION. You can get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar. With that said, and as we wrap up our SEC through, let's get our attention back to the Georgia Bulldogs here and what's going to happen on Saturday against Austin Peay here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And, you know, I sort of spoke earlier about some of the offensive newcomers that we may or may not get to see a whole lot of on Saturday. There is a guy on the defensive side of the ball that, you know, listen, you know, I think one of the most underrated additions for Georgia, and the reason why you even have underrated additions is because Georgia adds so many players. You know, you bring in a five-star wide receiver like Demetrius Roberts, that's going to get a lot of attention. You bring in the nation's number one recruiting class, that's going to get a lot of attention. And once you start sort of spreading your attention all out far and wide, you don't give enough attention to sort of every newcomer. And a guy that right now is not getting enough attention, I believe, is the former Notre Dame defensive lineman Jay Hayes, who arrives at Georgia here as a graduate transfer. I just think Hayes is going to be a big part of Georgia's plans this year. And, you know, not to toot my own horn because I'm wrong about plenty, but when Hayes committed, you know, I was sort of pounding the desk here on Dog Nation Daily then saying, this is a big deal. This is a guy that Georgia is going to use. It's the position that Georgia needs more bodies at, probably more than any other spot. And Hayes is the guy that can play. He had 7 tackles versus Georgia, ironically, against Notre Dame a year ago. This is a guy that, you know, could have gone to Oklahoma. This is a major addition to the program. And starting on Saturday, I think you're going to see a lot of what Kirby Smart likes about Jay Hayes. In fact, Smart did give us a preview earlier this week of what we may all see in game action for the first time from the former Notre Dame defensive lineman, now graduate transfer to UGA. Here is Smart on Jay Hayes.
Jay's provided us much-needed depth. I think Jay gives us a lot of quickness on the front. He's a guy that does movements well, plays good at the point of attack. He's been an asset from an energy and effort standpoint. I compare him to Ledbetter, where he chases the ball, he runs to the ball, he plays really hard. He's adjusted to our system very easily. I think having been an older player, he just learns easier. And he's going to provide us a lot of depth. He's going to be able to play a lot of snaps.
So, listen, there are about 3 things from what Kirby Smart says there that I think are really important to keep in mind about one of the reasons why I think that Jay Hayes may help Georgia have a pretty good-looking defense here in 2018. First of all, Hayes seemingly is in keeping with what Smart seems to be pursuing a lot right now and the Georgia assistants on the recruiting trail. They like smart players. Smart players are just easy to coach. Here's a guy that was probably doing some different things with Mike Elko a year ago at Notre Dame than he may be doing with Mel Tucker here at Georgia, but the adaption takes place quickly because smart people adapt well. Jay Hayes, good academic school like Notre Dame, probably pretty smart. It seems like he's working his way into Georgia pretty quickly. That's what you need to do. You need that easy transition for a guy that's got limited eligibility. I also take it seriously if Kirby Smart says this guy's kind of like Jonathan Ledbetter. That's as good a compliment as you can give anybody when it comes to the Georgia defense right now, because Ledbetter is going to be just crucially important to Georgia. For Kirby Smart to say, yeah, this guy's a little bit like Jonathan Ledbetter, I mean, that's a pretty significant compliment for Hayes to get. Another reason why I think that Hayes is going to be a household name by the end of the season. But then more specifically from sort of a football standpoint here, the other thing I think you like about Jay Hayes, and Jeff Sintel and I actually spoke about this a good bit yesterday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. It's the weekly recruiting show that he and I do at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesdays. We were talking about this sort of new world for defensive linemen. You see a lot of this in the NFL where NFL defense is just getting smaller. It's that lateral quickness that seems to be valued because of how versatile and sort of multiple formations you're seeing from offenses now. But you can't just have big, giant defensive linemen. You got to have guys that can run a bit as well, sideline to sideline. And, you know, I think a lot of the guys that George is pursuing for its 2020 class, the defensive line position, are examples of that. I think that Jay Hayes may be an example of that on the current roster. You want big guys that can stop the run, but you also want guys you don't have to take off the field when you think the offense may be trying to throw you a curveball. Jay Hayes is one of those guys. So we'll probably see a good bit of him on Saturday, and maybe foreshadowing a guy that could make a big impact in the bigger games that Georgia will play later on this fall. All right, really fun episode of our program today. Really appreciate you being with us. Always great to have David Green. Make sure you check out Tailgate Apparel coming up on Saturday for the Sean Jones autograph signing. That's going to be really, really good there. And I mentioned Jeff Sintel and I before the Hedges presented by Kroger. What a great show that was yesterday. Kendall Milton, the 5-star running back of the class of 2020. We heard from him live on the program. One of those defensive linemen we just discussed a moment ago, Jamil Burrows, had a chance to see a great video interview that Jeff Sintel conducted with him. And how about right off the top of the show, N'Kobe Dean, the 5-star linebacker, has some real affection for Georgia, and he explained that to us. It's kind of cool to hear that on Before the Hedges yesterday as well. So if you're not watching Before the Hedges on Wednesdays at 3, you need to make sure you do that. And, of course, we'd love to have you sign up for our Dog Nation Invasion giveaway courtesy of Kroger as well at dognation.com. But don't forget, around here we're Gator haters. 58 days from now, Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.